Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Carver Watson with Let's Talk.
We acknowledge the sovereignty of all First Nations people right across the country, particularly the local traditional owners of the Greater Brisbane region. We acknowledge old people, our elders of the First Peoples of the land and elders of more recent arrivals. And good morning to all of our listeners tuned in across the National Indigenous Radio Service. And we have a special broadcast today. We are coming to you live from a very well-renowned, especially in Brisbane anyway, community school called the Murray School for their NAIDOC event. And I'm joined by Jeff Locke. Jeff Locke, how you going, brother?
Yeah, good, thanks, Carl. Yeah, really good, bud.
Start with your mob and your country.
So, my people, my father's side, we're from Cookyallenge, from way up the Cape, around Lora region. And then my mum's side, we're Mananjali, just down there, and going across the border as well.
Very good. Well, it's always a wonderful day, the NAIDOC here at the Murray School. But before we sort of get on to what's going on today, can you share with our listeners out there, both in Brisbane and right across the country, what is the Murray School?
Yeah, so the Murray School, we've been going here for about, 31 years this year. We had a big 30th celebration last year. It's a community independent school, and it's run by our board of directors here at the school, so we're pretty much autonomous, and we're with Independent Schools Queensland. Back in those days, the elders in the community, you know, your father was one of them, saw a necessity to have our own school, as we have our own medical centres, that we have our own aged care facilities, we have our own community radios. So there was a necessity for a school to be built, not a state school. They wanted to be have their own set of rules and principles. And so your father, I believe, set out and put petitions in to start our own school. They first had a small room up at the back at Highgate Hill, at the back of a church up there.
Dornock Terrace
there, Highgate
Hill.
Yeah, that's the one. And then as the word got around, the school grew, so they had to move, from Dornock Terrace over to Milton. To Bruna Special School. There was a couple of classrooms in there that we could use, and I started the school in 97. And then they moved.
So you would have joined there at
Milton.
Milton,
yeah.
There, yeah.
Yeah, Milton,
yeah.
I first came.
Right in the shadow of old Suncorp.
That's right, yeah.
Stadium.
Across the road there,
yeah.
And so, and then the premises we're at now, on this beautiful day today, in Acacia Ridge on Beaudesert Road. It's the old Acacia Ridge Primary School. And because this is a low socioeconomic area as such, and there's not a lot of great growth here, they made, what they did was they made, Acacia Ridge High and Salisbury High joined together, and they moved them down to Salisbury State High School's premises, and created Nyanda. The Acacia Ridge Primary School said, we want to move over to the high school premises, so they moved down there, and this lot became free. So through the work from our board and Philomena, they put into block grant to get funding to purchase this property we're sitting on right
so
now.
So this is owned by... This is by the school,
yep.
So this is a...
Yeah, correct. This is so it goes along with the themes of how we run our school, or how we have our school. The actual land's ours as well, so... And we've built since we... In the first couple of years of being here, we had one of the buildings burned down, one of the wings. And then the insurance from that, we had managed to get some funding back. It took a long time. We had to... I remember being here in... in little dongas and little classrooms set up in dongas, and then the school's transformed since those days. We've got four new classrooms. We've got a science block. We've got a an art block, which are purpose built too. Uncle Bob's done a great job in designing the art block, and the late Tim Hamley designed the science teachers. He designed the science room, and they're purpose built. So. They're not just a room with some taps and things, and it's actually get used really well. And then we've got, under the Peter Garrett scheme, thanks to Uncle Peter there, the hall was built at the school. And so the school's been growing in the last couple
what
of
kind years. Of when you say hall, what kind of hall?
It's a multi-purpose indoor hall.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really good facility. Got indoor basketball, netball posts in there. Put little indoor soccer things. So it's a really, really lovely facility.
Is that where you have parade now?
Yeah, we do a parade in there because we used to have
used to have to sit out here in the cold.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, now they're right now, they're inside there. But also we've built a multi-purpose kitchen as well, and that came with the first insurance because the school provides meals for our kids. We have a breakfast program here. Part of my job, I'm the community engagement officer here at the school. So I've had many jobs here. I started off back in 97 as just a voluntary tutor, came in and they stuck me with the hard heads and they sort of started to work because I'm a big frame, so and I'm ex-military as well, so I sort of give a bit of a law and order. And then as jobs came up, I got permanent doing a bus driving run, and then kept working sort of my way through. I just stepped down from the board of directors. I've been on the board for about 3 or 4 years. But my job now is a community engagement officer, and we're not only looking after the kids here at the school, we go out into the families and bring them in and get them, sit them down, have a feed, have a yarn, find out what's going on. I go to food bank as part of my job and pick up food parcels and bring it to school. And if any parents are struggling, if one is struggling, then we can organise something for them to take home and be looked after that way.
It's always been such a sort of point of difference, how we have our tuck shop program and lunch program. We even have a breakfast program too, you know. And, you hear all the time from nutritionists and, education specialists about the importance of breakfast being one of the most important meals, especially for learning and education, you know. Where does that sort of start? How long have you had this nutrition program running?
I think the nutrition program started since day one. I think when kids were coming to school with empty stomach, and just giving them toast or giving them porridge or giving them a feed, it's the old thing whereby everyone understands that kids can't, well, no one can function 200% or 80% if they've got empty stomach, So it's very important. We look at, I think the beautiful thing about being at the Murray School, I think we've got a lot of staff that stay on. We've got staff members here. My sister Gail Locke, she's the librarian here. She's been here for nearly 25 years, 26 years. She's the longest serving staff member here. Wow. And then followed closely by Philomena, the principal. We've got Perry Ann Kelly, she's been here for a long time. There's a few.
Miss Morag, she's been racking up the years.
Yep, she's up there. She's actually can't step away. One time she's still teaching dorm, so she's in for half the days, you know. So
Miss Morag is, what year does she teach now? She's a primary school teacher.
Yeah, she helps out now with grade ones there in grade 1-2 class with Auntie Tracy Hopkins.
Mm. A lot of people who've come through and known the Murray School will remember all these names. It really is and has become sort of a community hub and a community on its own, you know. So many families and so many young ones who've come through over the years. Just for the listeners out there, how many students currently are enrolled?
We've got about 220 students currently enrolled, and that's prep, the little ones, all the way up to the seniors. And this year, we've got a big senior cohort. We've got about 22 seniors this year, and that's year 11 and 12.
Wow, yeah.
So I think it's about half are graduating this year, and they've been working really hard to get to where they're going. We don't offer an OP here. Hmm. We just offer a QCE, but through our external connections, we can give them pathways to get into university. And that's the thing. I think as a school and as a staff and as a community school, we're always trying to think outside the box. We have a lot of different partnerships and allies with the IUE, the Institute, and we have with UQ and QUT.
You've got your own medical centre here on site?
So with AICS, with the Aboriginal Medical Centre. We've got a doctor here, three days a week, full time. And that's to service the needs of our students here, but also to service the needs of the community. Mm. As I said, we're, as we were saying before, it's a community school, so we try to encourage people to come in. And, you know, that's the NAIDOC Day that we've been having started. Brisbane City Council approached us, the school, and asked us if we wanted to hold, because this is actually the Acacia Ridge NAIDOC Day.
So this is the community event as well as the Murray
correct.
School.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
deadly.
It's respect for the. Okay, it's actually the Acacia Ridge,
NAIDOC Day.
Yeah. And we're very careful and very, we're very careful and to say that this is the Acacia Ridge NAIDOC Day. And when it first came about, because Acacia Ridge were running their own NAIDOC Day, and City Council came and asked us and approached us, said, "Would you like to have the Acacia Ridge NAIDOC Day here?" And I said, "Look, go back to the community, ask that mob. We don't want to step on anyone's toes. I mean, this is Acacia Ridge, you know. And a lot of our staff aren't actually from here, and the students are, you know, shipped in. We transport all our kids here too as well, from as far as Wynnum and Logan, from out Ipswich Way. So a lot of the kids we get, and we have local kids that come here.
Well, there's a famous song about the Murray School Bus.
Yeah.
Well, famous for us anyway.
Yeah, Sam Taylor. Sam Taylor wrote it. Aunty Vera was his mother, and she used to drive the school bus.
Yeah.
And he wrote that deadly song, Murray School Bus. And so, you know, there's, you know, we talk about these people that have been around the school, and they've always, you know, it makes you feel old because you see kids of kids that came here. I remember there's a couple of students that run around here.
So you're
today.
Actually starting to see generations that come
generations,
through Murray
yep,
School.
Yep, that are here coming through, and it makes you feel old because the mother's coming in to enroll her kids, and you're like, oh, look out. You know, so you certainly feel your age sometimes around here. But, you know, we've got a strong allied health program here. The focus for us is, we're trying to always keep on top of things here.
What is the total staff of the school? Maybe a fair few, I imagine. How many classes?
Well, we've got there's the prep class, the grade 1-2, the grade 2 class, or grade 2-3, the grade 4, 3-4, and then 4-5, and then we've got grade 5, grade 6, grade 7, a grade 8 class, a grade 9 class, a grade 10 class, and then we've got the seniors together.
So that's close to 10 classrooms.
Yeah. And then we've got all the ancillary staff as well. And we've got...
I can't count very well.
No, neither can I. That's not my strong point. But,
you're not teaching math then.
Yeah, that's right. No. So, we've got a lot of other ancillary staff here, and a lot of uncles and aunties that come and actually work and sit in the classrooms, work with our kids as well. They really respond to that. And, you know, we're not a formal school. Well, we're not, you know, a formal school here. We're looked at, you know, as I'm not Mr. Locke, I'm Uncle Jeff and Auntie Pendy and Auntie Trace, and, you know, we try to make it...
But when you say not formal, that doesn't mean that it's... That just means it's not, you know, your typical standard school.
Yeah,
this is the stuff you're talking about, the need for our own school, and, you know, I look at the emblem on your shirt there, our culture, our children, our future, and it is, you know, our sort of way of teaching and learning. And that stuff sort of comes through in how you address staff and the sort of community element of the school. Can you talk a bit about that point of difference of being, you know, what are the cultural aspects of the school and what does make you different and stronger, you know, especially for, you know, Murray children?
Yeah, I think it comes back to identity. When you're, and I remember growing up going to a mainstream school, I was probably one of, in classrooms, the only Indigenous kid there, you know, and they get to come here. And you know, you'd never see Murray flags or you'd never see Torres Strait flags. You'd never see anything about culture. And even in NAIDOC days, our schools never celebrated NAIDOC days. You'd never, even in history, the whole time, you know, we thought that, you know, when you're young, that Captain Cook settled Australia. Until your aunties and uncles start saying, that's rubbish, you know. And they start telling you what the truth is.
It wasn't just rubbish, they would have said.
Yeah, well, that's what I was putting it lightly anyway. But anyway, so, you know, that's the difference. You know, here, we've got Murray flags on our shirts. Torres Strait flags on our shirts. People walking around with, you know, Daily Choices shirts with designs on them, different and Aboriginal culture. You know, it's part of here. And being, you know, in mainstream schools, if a kid falls over and scratches their knee, you can't pick them up. They got to leave them there. Here, we pick them up and carry them around. You know, and the little ones, we can carry them around like they're our own babies and our own kids. And, you know, and also when we growl at them as well, we growl at them like that's our family. That's our kids that are doing the wrong, you know. And we try to embrace that, and we try to give. And for a lot of these kids, this is a safe space for them too. You know, this allied health push that we've been going with. You know, it's been really successful because we've got a pediatrician clinic here at the school once a week. If you go to Logan Hospital, if you go to the Mater Hospital, it takes about 18 months to get to see a pediatrician. You know, you can see a pediatrician here within a week. You know, through our system that we have here, and it's the only system.
It's bringing the service to our children.
Yeah, and it's based here in the school ground. So it's allowing, you know, and we actually go out and pick the parents up if they need a lift. We provide all that.
You're saying, it is for, like, you know, they might have little brothers and sisters there at home.
Correct.
Who come in to access the health services.
And it is a community health service as well. We have a list of podiatrists, physiotherapists. We've got hearing mob here. We have the dental van that comes, both IUI dental van and the government dental van, which Philomena has fought really hard to get a lot of those services as well. Through our contacts, we've got a massive a partnership with the Aboriginal Healing Foundation. They give us money to run family camps. So we actually, part of myself and Diane Barney and Natalie Lowe and Jordan Upkett, we, on the holidays, facilitate family camps. So we're not just taking the kids on camps. We do those camps as well. But every second camp or every third camp, we take a whole family group. So over to Stratty, or we go down up to we go down to the Gold Coast and just take the families. And it's been a remarkable transformation for some of our families because, you know, they were saying, oh, well, you know, why are you taking us on camp for? And we'd say, well, we're just a holiday. We go over to Stratty. So for some of them, it's a lot of firsts. The first time they've ever been on a boat or been over the water. First time they've been on Stratty. And the biggest one for me is the first time they've been on holiday as a family group with all their family members, six, seven. Grandmother comes along as well, you know. And we take them all, and we take them, and they can go, and we sit there and go, just relax.
Yeah, it's not like school camp where you got to go do sort of team building activities.
No, that. We just sit down there, and we get fishing rods, and then go chuck a line out, or we go swimming over the back there, we do gorge walk, or, you know, it's just a time for them to chill out. We had one parent down the Gold Coast there, go Main Beach, and she walked out, and she was staring at the buildings. I say, hey, Yanni, you'll come for a swim? And she's like, that's amazing. I said, what do you mean? She goes, I've never seen that before. And this is a woman that was from here in Brisbane, never been to the Gold Coast before. So, you know, things like that that we provide for our families and for our kids and to give them, and it goes back to identity, and giving them opportunities that they wouldn't necessarily get being lost in the mainstream school. Yeah.
Now, so, I mean, when you talk about, you know, that point of difference and not only providing these opportunities, but this allied health services, you get an influx of, you know, health professionals, as well as, you know, we've always had an influx of, you know, non-Indigenous teachers who come through the school. Can you talk about the sort of experience that, or sort of, you know, the development of those sorts of people who come through this place to actually be part of this school with the cultural values and the cultural sort of, you know, the way that the school operates? It's a two-way sort of education for non-Indigenous people who come here. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've even spoken to the Minister, Education Minister Kate Jones, in regards to having students come and do their pre-service here, or come and do, you know, before they want to go out and do community work, come here at the Murray School, you know, be around Blackfellas here before you go out. Because a lot of the students that go off to be teachers in the communities out bush, they don't last very long. You know, because they don't understand the culture. We want them to come in here. And also the ones we have a big push for, we have allied health, so we have a big lot of speech pathologists, speechies and OT students come and do their precept, like work here and work with our kids in groups. And it's you know, we're getting a service from them, but also we're giving them a service as well. So it's that trade. And it's that thing of, you know, understanding living in two worlds for Blackfellas. We have to live in two worlds. We have to do, to access health professionals, you know, we're giving our kids an understanding that, you know, you don't know these people, they're strange, but they want to help as well. So it's, we also have two extern uni students here for psychology. They do their 6 months externship here at the school, and they work in with the classrooms and work with the students and get to know the kids and, you know, provide a psychological service as well. You know, we're looking at everything that hinders our care. I suppose, you know, when I think about it, when I talk about it to other Pell people, we're trying to provide something that takes away all the hindrances from school and education that's out there in the mainstream system. So we go out and pick them up. We've got five or six buses here at school. We go and pick our kids up. Shame job when the bus pulls up and that beep and that horn, them kids look out, and they got to run out there because they don't want to not be, you know, seen not to come sort of thing. So it's almost like a peer pressure thing to come. And, you know, so we've got a really good, strong attendance rate. We do an NAPLAN testing. You know, we'd have to jump through all those hoops. But we can also be flexible in a lot of things as well. And that flexibility revolves around our culture and the way we do things. You know, it just not doesn't have to be short, sharp. All right, that kid's he's gone. He's done something wrong. Go. You know,
it's like there's a sort of the school is sort of like an interface where you translate all of the sort of frameworks and education policies and legislation, all that sort of stuff, and make sure that it's appropriate for these kids when they come in contact with it in the classroom. You know,
and safety as well. You know, cultural safety is important as well. You know, when you go to these mainstream schools, you don't see. You're starting to see it slowly now. Programs for Indigenous kids, especially schools with high Indigenous numbers in their, you know, in their school. We're not exclusively for Indigenous people. We've got, you know, Islanders here. We've just got actually enrolled a little fella from the Solomons here. But we've had Iraqi kids come here. We've got non-Indigenous kids from the community come here. We've had a grandfather from the community come out and say, who was heard saying, send your kids to the Murray School because it's the first school that's ever looked after my grandson. You know, got him through, and he went to the local primary school. See, this young fella. He's got through the doctors, he's gone through all those different allied health things, and we've picked up on things for him, and the grandfather's like, yeah, send your kids there, you know, and he's a non-Indigenous fella in the community here. So people are recognising the good work we do here. Child safety come here a lot as well, and try to drop off kids that, you know, have been to 18 different schools. We accept some of them, and some of them, you know, because of what's happened for them in their world, aren't ready to fit in yet, you know. But we try as best we can, and we give them a go. That's the most important thing is we give them a start. We give them a go, and try to make comfortable. And, you know, I've seen a lot of kids come here, and they're just allowed to be black. You know, I think that's just an important thing. They're around mob. They're around people that look like them. They're seeing things on the walls and hearing language, you know, that's relates to them. In the mainstream school, what relates to them, you know? There's no, you know, there's doesn't for a lot of it, there's not a lot of care, and especially cultural safety. You know, usually sometimes you're fighting fellas at you know, school, and because they're running you down because you're a black fella. Well, here, everyone's black, you know? And, you know, with a football in the hand, playing footy here, running around.
Murray School Warriors still running around? Juniors?
Yeah, the junior school, yeah. There. Bradley Fitzgerald, he's been here, another fellow who's been here for a long time. He did his uni prac here. He's, him and Jerry Formile, actually.
So, for the listeners out there, Murray School Warriors are the rugby league team. Murray School rugby league team are the primary school students.
Yep.
Yeah.
The PE teachers here have done really well. They've linked in with the Acacia Ridge or the Inala district. Met West sort of district. So we go out, play soccer, rugby league, touch footy, netball. We've got one actually young girl, talking about netball, we've got one young girl here, Esme Bly, who's just, I think she's representing the Queensland Indigenous. I think she's down at the Gold Coast at the moment for the Indigenous Australian side for netball. And I think she might be getting selected for that, so she's doing really well.
Quick yarn about the inaugural year of the Murray School Warriors. I was in that team. And we made the grand final, and it was almost like a fairy tale, you know. We had to win a sort of decider game to get to the grand final, and we were all pumped. And of course, everybody turned out, you know, families, staff. I think even they brought the school out. So most of the school was out all cheering us on. Well, we got pumped. I think we got a 34-0 or something.
I think we had kids run around barefoot too. Yeah. Like other kids wearing boots. Like, well, my kids going to run out there. You're right. Go out there barefoot as well. So. Yeah, no, but some great times, some great memories here at the school. You know, we've done a lot of things. We've seen a lot of people come and go, but we always see people come back. It's like a boomerang. They go in the community and they always come back. And days like this, this NAIDOC here, the Acacia Ridge NAIDOC, has only been going for, I think, four years now. And it's growing every year. It's getting really good. And a lot of the, we've got about 30 stalls here today. We've got some really good entertainment coming up as well today. So if you're around anywhere local, we're going from 10 till 2. There's some good feed there. We usually do Cup Murray, but this year we've gone differently. We've got, I think, Uncle Rupert and his mob. They're cooking some chicken vermicelli and some sop and some really chicken curry and things like that. So if you want to feed and bring your kids down, there's free rides here at the school. And there's stalls set up everywhere as well, some deadly-looking stalls. If you want to come pet a snake there, I think they
Jumper Castle here for the kids and
Wild Miracles there.
Yeah. So. But so 1277?
1277 Beaudesert Road, Acacia Ridge.
Come on down and check it out. But one last thing, another well known feature of the Murray School is, of course, and it's the stuff you're talking about before, that cultural safety, the Murray School dancers. So we're going to see these, see the young fellas jumping up today, do corroboree?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Murray School Dance Group, that's a story in itself. And you are the one of the original members of the, I mean, the Murray School, even in the early days, the Bales girls. They were the sort of the original starters. And
we've been very fortunate here in Brisbane, and just I think Queensland generally, you know, that we always have had mob around that have known song and dance, and you know that's certainly, you know, sort of where I learnt from the girls, and you know other mob here, Annie Cheryl Buchanan's mob, and you know that we've always had mob around here doing crop.
Even Camilleroy mob, all the Spearhams, they were here at the school and passed on dances to us. You know, so you know it's a cultural hub as well, you know. And so the dance group, we dance dances from different areas. Camilleroy dance, Cook-Yalindji dance, Mananjali dance. And it's because I've been given permission from those family groups to continue those dances, as it has been for, you know, for however long that Aboriginal dance has been going on. And for me, it's just giving these kids here a sense of belonging, a sense of attachment, but also I say to them, here, go and find out who your mob are. Go and work out who you are and where you're from, and go and find out what your dances are. Here, we'll do corroboree here, but when you go and find, you know, find out. And they do, and I've seen kids from here go off and become, you know, Michael Watigo started doing corroboree here, looked like a little junkie man. He is now one of the famous dancers for the Noonuckle Yagra dance group, travel around the world, you know, that fella. Jojo Johnson, he's another fella too, you know. And so it's giving those kids that connection to this country and telling them to go and find out who their mob and what
they're. But
their
also making them proud and strong, you know, within themselves and in their own culture. But look, thank you for joining us today. But just lastly, who are some of the performances and stuff we can expect to see here today if people want to come down and check it out?
We got Troy Brady. Troy Brady's coming. He'll be here sometime today. He's very well known. I think everyone knows Troy. We've got Zeke Power.
He's a younger fella, but he's quite popular on YouTube and social media and stuff.
Yeah, Zeke, he's with a group called Slip On Stereo.
Yep.
And they've got time on Nova, like on the other radio stations.
Yeah.
And he's done really well. They've been very successful. He's going to be here, and he's actually going to be... He's a music teacher at the school at the moment as well.
Oh, deadly.
So it's he's been really good here at the school working with our kids and but also on his, I think they've just released another single as well. So he's very successful. All the kids know all his songs. They, you know, as they do, check him out on YouTube and get in there and they sing his songs back to him.
He's an awesome musician.
Yeah, no, he's great. We also have the mob here that brought the stage and the sound, the Huntsmen. They're a really deadly group, father, son and daughter group, and they travel around, and I believe they do a lot of different NAIDOC. So this time of the year is very busy for them. They go in, they come here last night, set up their stage, set up the sound and get ready for today. So
deadly.
The Huntsmen, yeah, very, very well, very deadly group. Who else we have on stage today? I think we've got MC Trix.
Bit of hip hop.
Yeah, we got we got ACPA coming out today as well.
ACPA always do a good performance.
Yeah. And we have Mark Lowndes, who's very deadly. I think he's Pacific Islands performer. He was working at the school here as well, but he's come to perform as well. It's a favour of the ladies.
Quite the alumni of students and staff. All those a few people there that you said, you know, have all worked at the school and come through the ranks. But Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning.
No worries, Carps.
And yes, we might have a bit of a break for some music, and we'll go back to the studio, and we'll be back shortly.
Well, I wash my face before the break of dawn. Comb my hair back, looked into the mirror, took a picture off the wall. She said, I don't mind anymore that I could see. You don't want love like the way you used to. want love anymore. So let the wheels keep on turning round. Don't you stop now, we don't have far to go. Where the great beyond would cover you. She turned her head to greet the morning sun, felt the wind blow a cold and a lonely chill. She felt the wind blow, felt the wind blow. And she said, I don't mind anymore that I could see that you don't want love like the way. Let the wheels keep on turning round, but don't you stop now, we don't have far to go. There the grave beyond would cover you.
Stands on a hill, looks out over the sea and seas. Sails in a sunset, says, would they come to my sacred land? 200 years go by, so many acts of genocide, and children, mothers, fathers die. Warriors fight and warriors cry for the sacred land. I heard a man say, who will sing my songs? Who will sing my songs? Who will walk my dreaming path when we're gone? Oh, sad story. Old man walks down the street, he has a suit upon his back. Knows not of his heritage, knows not if it's white or black on this sacred land. And she sits at a bus stop, her children have been taken away. There are tears in her eyes, if you could read them they would say, my children are gone. And she sang, who will sing my songs? Who will sing my songs? Dreaming path, my children, they're gone, oh, they're gone. A child grows, becomes a man before he knows secrets of responsibilities and heritage and such like things. And in the northern part of town, all the children gather round, laughing, playing, singing, an old playground, how the children sing. And one young boy steps forward, he says, I will sing your songs. I will sing your songs. I will walk your dreaming path when you are gone. All the children start to sing. We will sing your songs. We will sing your songs. We will walk your dreaming path when you are gone. Oh, how the children sing, how the children sing. We will sing your songs. We will sing your songs. We will walk your dreaming path when you are gone. Let the children sing, let the children sing. We will sing your songs. How the children singing now. We will sing your songs. We will walk your dreaming path when you are gone. This world's for the children. This world's for the children. This world's for the children. This world's for the children.
Brisbane Youth Service is a safe space designed to support vulnerable young people aged 12 to 25 during crisis or times when they need to make healthy changes. There's a lot going on in young people's lives. They have school, work, or trying to juggle both. They're developing skills that will help shape their future. But abuse, crisis, and issues can become a turning point without the right support. Brisbane Youth Service can offer assistance to young people by finding safe and stable accommodation, emergency relief services in times of crisis. There's a program for young parents, free and confidential medical services, and support for young people with physical and mental health issues. Brisbane Youth Service staff are ready to listen and assist young people with where they're at. Give them a call on 3620 2400. That's 3620 2400.
A message from the Staying Strong Project, funded by the Australian Government Department of Health.
This is Carver Watson with Let's Talk.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. We're broadcasting from the Murray School, 1277 Acacia Ridge. Sorry, 1277 Bow Desert Road, Acacia Ridge, for the Acacia Ridge NAIDOC Day. So if anybody's around the local area and wants to come up and check it out, make sure you do. It's on from 10 till 2 with a host of performers. Most notably missing from that list is my next guest, and who I'm sitting with, Paddy McHugh.
G'day, Carver. How are you going?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Can you start just a bit of background, sort of where you hail from and your roots?
Yeah, I grew up, I was born in Brisbane, so I go for the Maroons, don't you worry. Don't hate me for that. I grew up in Tamworth and I moved up. Back up to Brisbane here with my wife and family about coming on 10 years ago now.
Okay. And, of course, a lot of our listeners know you from our airwaves. You did a guest spot with on the Brekkie show with Clay for a bit, but now you're hosting your own show, Three Chords and the Truth.
Yeah, mate, I'm absolutely loving it. I'm very thankful, and it's good I get this public opportunity to say thank you for taking a chance on someone.
That's all right, mate. And you know, for any fans of your music, of which we are at the station, it was a no-brainer. You're an awesome musician, and you know, we've got a lot of respect for your music, and but also the person you are, mate. Because what a lot of people might not know is that you are a staff member, a teacher here at the Murray School.
Yeah, that's right. I'm coming on to my fifth year here at the Murray School. I absolutely love this job. You know, this is music's obviously a big part of my life, and I get a lot of enjoyment from it. But the other part of my life that, you know, my professional life and my personal life is working here at the Murray School, and I get just as much, if not more, enjoyment out of being here and being a part of this community. And today is just, you know, the tip of the iceberg for this. It's a wonderful celebration, and we've been lucky enough to get a lovely blue sky, and we've got people rolling in already, and it's just NAIDOC Day and NAIDOC Week at the Murray School is always fun, and I encourage anyone out there listening, you've got time, come on down.
Make sure you come and check it out. Mate, why are you passionate about this place, and why do you enjoy it so much? You know, you are an Indigenous fella. So what is it? What is it about this place that you feel so good about?
Oh, look, to be perfectly honest, the first thing that I got to say at the top of my voice is when I came to Brisbane, back to Brisbane, I was a stranger here, and it was actually members of the Indigenous community in Brisbane who were the first to sort of open up their arms to me and welcome me, and by providing me with a place to do my music and playing my songs on the radio, and then eventually leading through to a job here, and it was just a welcoming place. But going beyond that and thinking a little bit more about it, as a white middle class Australian, I got a pretty good life, and we do, and I love Australia, but I also recognise that what we have has been built on a history, and unfortunately that history is built on the oppression and the disadvantage of many Indigenous peoples. And I suppose it's always been a thing in my mind growing up. I grew up around Aboriginal people, and I could see for members of that community some of the hardships and the struggles that they faced, and I was aware that that was partly due to it, well, largely due to the fact that my ancestors and my people came here and forcibly sort of planted themselves on the environment. And I think, I don't know, for me it was important, and it's always been important. If I'm going to be an Australian, I'm going to live in this beautiful country, and I'm going to share it with my fellow Australians of all walks of life, I think we need to be honest and we need to do what we can. And for me, that was always being conscious of the genuine and real concerns and struggles of our Indigenous brothers and sisters.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is it because you feel sorry for us?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I can answer that question because we do have a good relationship, and I know that you know and understand and connect with the culture of this place, but our people as well. So, can you talk a bit about what that means to you?
Absolutely. Look, the thing, my experience working in the Indigenous community is I haven't had to forge new ground. All I've done is just slipped in behind the work and the great work being done already by the Indigenous community itself. This is the thing, when you talk about the Indigenous community, you're talking about, thousands of different communities and different people. And, there are lots and many, many people doing amazing things working within their own community and outside it as well. And from my experience working with Indigenous people, has simply been to come in and to sort of slot myself into the already existing great networks and great support and great initiatives that are being run and controlled by Aboriginal people, and just turn up and just be like, hey guys, I'm here. I'm not come here to judge. I don't care what's going on. I'm here to help, and anything you need me to do, you just say jump and I'll say hi. And that's all it's really been. And
I asked that question, and when you said that you'd worked here for 5 years, I did have the thought, at the Murray School we do have, and Indigenous organisations right across the country always get non-Indigenous people who come in with that sort of, I don't know, what's the word? I want to say almost missionary sort of attitude around, to save and help and assist this downtrodden people.
Yep.
And they never really last. And I think it's because of what you are talking about, that, especially in our community-controlled organisations, there are very capable Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are managing our own affairs.
Absolutely.
And sometimes people don't always get that.
Yeah, look, I look around here at the Murray School, and I am surrounded by Indigenous men and women who are incredibly capable, incredibly intelligent, incredibly loving, caring and strong, and they are the ones that are really leading the school. I'm here, I do my bit, and I do my bit from the education point of view, and I like to think I'm pretty good at that, and I work my hardest at that. But when it comes to sort of working within the community, as I said, I just sort of fall in line with the incredible people who are already doing the great work and have been doing it much more than 5 years. And, I hope to be here in the years to come, and maybe one day I'll have my 20-year mark. But, until then, I'll just follow the lead of these great people, including your mum and, your father. And there's all these wonderful people who I just have to follow their lead and just stay on the course. That's all it is.
Well, it speaks to, that sense of respect that you have, And now people talk a lot about respect, and, you certainly have it, Paddy. But, look, to go back to sort of what we were talking a bit about before, how's the new show going, Three Chords and the Truth?
Oh, look, Jen and I are having an absolute ball. We love it. We're both new to radio, but we're getting a huge amount of enjoyment out of it. And we've had quite a bit of good feedback. We've been getting messages and being contacted by people from all over the country listening through NERS and through the internet. And, they've got nothing but positive things to say. And I think the thing that is working for us, I do believe, if I'm going to be bold enough to try and pick it, is that we're trying to sort of go a little bit beyond just playing the songs and trying to sort of spark some conversation and get people to be thinking about, you know, particularly in the genres of alt country and roots, the songwriters generally have an agenda. There's something they want to say that's beyond the music. It's not just for dancing or for just tuning out to. It's usually got an agenda or a message, and we're trying to tap into that and give them, just, you know, discuss that, give that room to be discussed. And
I mean, it's you know, and that's what I've always seen in your music, Patty, is that, you know, there's a story behind your songs, you know, and you tap into these stories and you know, to have a message. And, you know, I think all of the great artists really do. I think of Bob Marley and people like that, Johnny Cash, and it's always been about that message. So do you think it's sort of missing a bit in the music landscape, that we're sort of not, that, that there's a lot of artists and music out there that, you know, that message sort of isn't there?
Yeah, look, I think there's just lots more types of music out there these days as well, and people, it's so much easier to listen to music. You know, in the day, you'd have to go and into where the record player was, and you'd have to physically put it on, and then when you're halfway there, you'd have to flip it over. And then, you know, with cassettes as well, same thing, it was a physical thing. But now everyone's got the entire world music catalogue in their pocket on demand at any one time, and people aren't listening to music the same, and I think that's what's changed. But look, there's still definitely scope. Music has always been and will remain to be one of the most powerful ways to influence people and to get them to change. And you look at all the revolutions, all the big social movements that have happened over the years, and they've always linked to music and usually have that song or that artist that's helped drive it. You know, look at Bob Dylan and, you know, just one example, Bob Marley and the change that he brought about in Jamaica with their, you know, with their politics. He basically stopped a war with his music, you know. And I think that music's always had that power, and I think it always will. And, you know, that's what we're trying to champion with our radio show. We're trying to, you know, find those artists and those songs that might have some kind of message. I'm not saying we're going to change the world.
That's what I'm going to say. Well, what's your political agenda here, mate? Where can we read the manifesto?
No, we're not going to take it that serious. It's still fun too. You know, we do. It is all about the music and about people just listening and having a good time. But, you know, we're trying to also keep it real. And that's what the station's about, you know. And that's why I started listening to 98.9 when I first got up here, because it's real. You know, you talk about the things that nobody talks about. The music informs that. And I love that, and just slot into that was really important as well. Mm.
So the other great thing that I think you're doing is you're working with, you know, sort of not hugely well-known artists. It's also providing a platform for, you know, sort of artists that fit the genre that you're sort of going for. What is the genre, if you could express for us? Yeah.
Well, look, the word that gets thrown around a lot is this term Americana. And a lot of people turn their nose up to that because they instantly sort of think America, but where the term Americana comes from is it's really just looking at saying there in the early days of America, a lot of styles of music like jazz and blues and country and hillbilly that were sort of, you know, started in there. And now over the years, those genres have been taken and adopted by the rest of the world, and they've been changed and mixed together and stirred and combined. And so Americana is just really a blanket term really to describe any modern sort of style of music or folk music that's got elements of those old American styles like jazz and blues and that sort of stuff. And really what it is, it's just anything that's sort of written by people, for people, you know. And I'd say, you know, dance music wouldn't fit into that because that's written for people to dance to, you know, and some certain pop music's written to, you know, make you feel good.
Lyrics are important.
That's right, yeah. And it's about, you know, it's about people talking to people and getting a message across and having something to say, you know, more than just, you know, just making you feel good or want to dance, move your feet. But, yeah, it's...
I'm sure there's some dance-type alt country.
Oh, I'm sure there is, but we're not going to play it on Three Chords in the Tree.
it's a sip and whiskey sort of home alone type feel, is it?
Yeah. Look, it can be anything, and it's as long as it makes you think, I suppose, it's probably the best way to think about it. If you hear a song and it makes you think something, or, you know, emotion react, or think I should do something, or maybe I should have that conversation with that person, or you probably listen to an old country tune.
Yeah, very good. So plug it away, mate. When can people listen, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, look, it's a broadcast on 98.9 FM every Thursday evening from 6 till 7, and we also have a repeat on Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m. But thanks to the wonders of the internet, anybody listening anywhere can stream it live as it goes to air, or later on you can actually go back and get the podcast, which you can download or stream. So it's very accessible. Even if you don't miss it going to air, you know, feel free to just go to the 98 website there, look at the podcast section, you'll see them all there, and we're up to about five shows now, and you can go and listen to all of them. And Yeah, and I'd encourage anyone out there who likes that style of music and likes their music with a message to go and have a listen to the shows. We've enjoyed making them, and we hope you enjoy listening to them.
Very good. Mate, thanks for joining us this morning.
No, thank you.
Who should we keep an eye out for today and the performers list? Any personal favourites?
Yeah, look, I'm going to say Zeke Power, because he's been teaching the kids music here, and he's been...
Oh, you're cutting your grass here, mate.
Oh, look, I've got to teach the history and the English. And I'm too busy, man.
Yeah.
No, look, Zeke's a great teacher, and his band Slip On Stereo, I'm sure many listeners will know them. They've done some great things and even, you know, toured the world, and he's here today doing a solo thing. And, he's a very powerful singer and a very powerful songwriter, and, I'm looking forward to it.
He's an awesome vocalist as well. He's got great voice. Yeah.
He is, and do you know what? He can play basketball too. We went to the Murray School sort of basketball day recently. We went and played the Acacia Ridge Police Team.
Is that right?
And he's a danger on that basketball court. He's a dark horse. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to have to come down and see these skills. I pride myself on being a bit of a baller, but...
Oh, well, yeah. There's a basketball court here. Let's get a game going, eh?
Yeah, film it for online.
One-on-one.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us this morning. You've been listening to Let's Talk from the Murray School at Acacia Ridge for the Acacia Ridge NAIDOC Day. If you are in the area and you want to check it out, come on down, 1277 Bow Desert Road, Acacia Ridge. Yes, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday, and back to the studio.
You've been tuned to Let's Talk, highlighting the injustice from community to country, suburb to city, with a multitude of hosts, Bo Spearham, Carver Watson, the aunties Lilla Watson and Mary Graham, and Chelsea Bond. Weekday mornings from 9 till 10, it's Let's Talk, welcoming the continued sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country.